It's that time of the year again. Conferences abound. All that and more coming up next. This is It's Rotary 6040. Fresh, positive news. Brought to you in part by Audible.com. Episode number 27, Conference Call. So we're bringing you coverage from the RI convention in Bangkok, as best as we can anyway. We do have a couple of interviews taken by our own District Governor Dan Hall. Sadly, those won't be available until next week's show, so you're just going to have to stay tuned. We are going to do another show here right before the end of May. Hopefully, it'll be out by May 31st, so keep that in mind. He's got interviews from a couple of people from around the conference that he happened to run to, including Mohamed Yurnes, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the man's name, but you might know him as the guy who started Grumman Bank. He was on the cover of the Rotarian from last month's magazine, and he was one of the keynote speakers at the conference in Bangkok. So if that's not enough, I don't know what else I can do for you. First up, though, for this week, we do know the world's largest smile was created at this year's conference. That's right. Over 2,000 Rotarians gathered at the start of the conference and put on a huge smile. The photo's linked in the show notes, so you want to check it out. I understand that Kenny Harris, our district governor-elect, decided to point out exactly where he was standing when I showed that photo to everybody at district conference, by the way. So you might want to be looking for it and see if you can see his big, tall, white head of hair sticking out somewhere in the crowd. I'm sure he was probably one of the tallest attendants there. So, Rotarians on Social Networks Fellowship, which is a mouthful, let me tell you, also happens to be the largest fellowship in Rotary. If you're not familiar with what fellowships are, I'll explain. Fellowships are basically just groups of Rotarians that come together in a number of ways with common interests, okay? It's just another way to foster friendship between Rotarians all over the world. There's a large list of fellowships on the Rotary website. It's easy to find. I'll warn you, though, there are some fellowships listed that may make your head turn. Like the doll-loving fellowship. I don't know exactly what that is. All I know is that it's not what it sounds like. It is just a collection of probably older women who like to collect antique dolls. All right, so don't get your heads spun around too fast. Anyway, back to the Social Networks Fellowship. It's over 1,300 members strong, and you can find them online at rosnf.org. Unfortunately, the booth that they had set up at this year's conference did not have a very good net connection. In fact, the only net connection they could find was in a cafe right across from the booth. And according to Simone Collins, the only way to get onto that thing was to sign, you know, a 20-page document. So that didn't work out too well. So hopefully here coming up, we can get some more information from them out of the group as far as how things went. I know that they had a lot of signups. If you go to the website, you can also find their Facebook group. And if you join the fellowship, which is very easy to do, you just quick sign up, they'll get you approved. You can get into the group on Facebook as well. And there's dozens of discussions going on every single day about social media networks, how best to use them, how your club can benefit from them online. Kind of the same things that I've been talking about now for the last, year. So all kinds of fun things to be had with that. I dare say that the people in charge of the group and who comment regularly are the cream of the crop in the global social media world. So check it out and don't be shy to ask your questions. Poverty and hunger were the targets of the second plenary session of the 2012 RI Convention, as a variety of award-winning speakers encouraged Rotarians to use their ingenuity to solve these global challenges. Microcredit pioneer Mohamed Yurnes, a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, commended Rotarians for their work in developing microcredit loans for the poor. The founder of Grumman Bank also encouraged Rotarians to pursue social business enterprises that would work with microcredit-funded businesses not to just to produce revenue, but also to return profits to the communities where they operate. As an example, Yurnes highlighted a joint venture between Grumman Bank and Danone, a European food company, to produce high-nutrition yogurt for children in Bangladesh. The goal is to produce malnutrition while creating manufacturing and distribution jobs. In today's world, we use money to make money, not solve problems, says Yurnes. If we use money creatively in a business framework, we can solve any problem. Recently, Grumman Bank also joined forces with Adidas to produce shoes that cost less than $1 a pair. The affordable shoes help prevent infection by foot parasites in poor countries. This is another example, folks, of why we need to continue to do our Shoes for Orphan Souls drive, which was, of course, huge this year at District Conference. We'll get into that later, so don't let me get off. I'm getting off track, I understand. Sometimes I do this, but this is just another one of those nice little highlighted examples of why shoes are so important. It's not just us that sees it. It's not just Buckner that sees it. Everybody in the world sees it. My dream is to one day take poverty out of a society and put it in a museum that our grandchildren can visit to see what it's like, Eunice said. Anti-poverty crusader Hugh Evans also spoke at the conference. He's co-founder and CEO of the Global Poverty Project. And he said Rotary can use its considerable influence to fight poverty. Like Rotary, we believe that mass mobilization of individuals can affect real change in the world, Evans said. When we focus on the needs of others, our own burdens become lighter. Our perspective changes. This idea, the same one that drives you as Rotarians, guides our work at the Global Poverty Project, he said. And that was a great speech that he had. If you can check that out online, rotary.org, you can hear the whole, or get the whole transcript anyway of the speech. It was a very, very well done speech. Rolling right along with the UN connections that were made at the RI conference, Jillian Sorensen, Senior Advisor and National Advocate of the United Nations Foundation, encouraged Rotarians to work with governments to solve global problems, including poverty, hunger, illiteracy, and lack of access to clean drinking water and sanitation. What is clear is that problems like this are too great for governments alone to resolve, said Sorensen, who has also served on many positions at the UN, including Assistant Secretary General for External Relations. They need partners of every kind, she said, from private sector to civil organizations like yours, who have the means to contribute and lead. Sorensen said Rotary, which has a 66-year relationship with the UN, continues to be an active and influential presence at the organization's headquarters in New York. You play a similar role with UNICEF, UNESCO, and the World Health Organization, she said. Angelique Kidjo, Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter and activist, said the world has many health issues for which there are no solutions, but added that the most frustrating are the ones for which we have a solution and not enough is being done. That's well said. She also ended the Kidjo, who was named a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador in 2002, said Rotary's This Close campaign is the right message to help eradicate polio for good. What I love about the campaign is that it is a simple goal that you've set. We know eradication is possible, and with your goodwill and energy, that goal is achievable. There's all kinds of convention news that you can get on Rotary.org if you need a little bit more than what I've shared with you here, as well as some blogs from individual Rotarians who were at the convention. That's on the Rotary Voices blog, and I've got the link for that in the show notes as well. And you can also download convention speeches and reports from the convention. Again, all that can be found at Rotary.org, or just go to the show notes and you'll find the links there. Now for the conference in District 6040. Yours truly was kept very busy running all the AV for each plenary session, and there were six in total, as well as the 15 breakout sessions on the Saturday of the event. I will say it was fairly easy to run these, as the staff on hand at Unity Village did a fantastic job. That's where the conference was hosted. If you've never heard of Unity, you should do a quick lookup. I provided a handy link in the show notes, or you can just Google it. Unity actually has some of the same goals as Rotary in respect to their work with peace. We had well over 160 in attendance, including two special guests. Abdul Ahad and his wife Rosa flew in from Bangladesh as President Banerjee's representative. Mr. Ahad gave three separate speeches over the weekend, and they were all excellent, even quite funny at times. It was great to hear a speaker with a different perspective than ours here in the Midwest. We all need a little of that from time to time. I do have copies of the two PowerPoint presentations, and I'll have those linked in the show notes. We'll probably put them up on the district's Facebook page as well, so you can kind of see everything that he went over. It's a lot of information. The two PowerPoints go into great depth about his about future vision. And if you want to know more, these are great ways to get into it. Abdul Ahad was district governor of a pilot district that had the future vision plan going already, so he's definitely an authority on the subject. We also had our incoming GSE team from Romania and Moldova speaking to the whole gathering, the whole crowd. And the five team members of the team are team leader Andrea Dumitria, Anika Baduski, Cosmin Pop, Odienko, Cyprian Badia, I am totally butchering these names, and I apologize, okay? I'm from Missouri. I'm sorry. We also have their slides linked in the show notes, so you can know all about these great folks and everything that they've come to learn about. I hope to get interviews with them as well for the show if time allows, but they will be leaving on June 7th, and they're extremely busy. You know, they're only here for about a four-week period of time, and everybody and their brother wants to talk to them, so we'll just kind of see. I wasn't able to get interviews with them at the conference. Obviously, I had other things that kept me very busy. So, and one of the things that's interesting to know about GSE teams, you probably don't realize yourself or even think about it for a moment, how many times these folks have to give the same speech to so many different clubs. And when they gave theirs at district conference, I think they told me there had been like somewhere around 9 or 10 times already, and you wouldn't have been able to tell. They did it with style and grace. They did a great job. So you can see some great photos of the group on our district's Facebook page. I've got that link in the show notes, but that's just facebook.com/Rotary6040. That is the district's Facebook page. So you can check out all the great things we got going on with that as well. There are dozens of photos from the weekend on the Facebook page. I know. Why not Pinterest, right? Frankly, I haven't had the time to do it yet, but we do have a Pinterest account, and we will have some photos up on Pinterest. So for those of you out there like me that have to have things in certain sections and to be able to look at them and know what's going on as kind of your daily feed, never fear. The Pinterest account will get launched here soon and get everything up on it as well. So if anybody wants to help out with that, give me a call. Every district should have pin boards for each major district event, by the way. Just like clubs should have pin boards for each major event, the district itself should have pin boards for each major event. And we don't mean random, cool single photos. They don't have to be some crazy, huge, large, high-res photo. They should be high-res, don't get me wrong. 8 megapixels are better. But they don't have to be some spectacular thing. You just start taking photos of everybody standing around talking, someone giving a speech, you know, just the different kinds of things that are going on, especially at your fundraisers. That's where it's really important, where you take pictures of the crowd and the kids interacting and all the different things that are going on that obviously show people how fun your events are. That's how you want to use your Pinterest account. Have pin boards for Chili Fest. Have a pin board for your run. Have a pin board for, you know, your walk or your pancake breakfast or however you want to do it. That's what the Pinterest accounts are for. And we'll get into that later in another show. So I was able to speak at one of the breakout sessions, and the topic was expanding Rotary through the use of technology. I would post my keynote for it, except I give presentations in a certain style. Most of the slides include only keywords or bullet points, and maybe a large image or two go along with that. But since what I say is kind of rehearsed and kind of on the fly, no two presentations are the same. I will be playing with the idea of recording the audio over the images as I go through the slide myself and making it in kind of an audio style, almost like a podcast, I guess, and see if that works. And I'll post it up on the website, itsrotary.com, if that works. If it doesn't kind of play well, then I'll find some other way to do it. It should play, but hey, who knows? So don't hold your breath on it. And if I can get it done, I'll get it done. So every year at the district conference, we have clubs from all around the district meet up with a shoes caravan to collect all the shoes the clubs have gathered throughout the year. This gets back to what I was saying before about Muhammad's idea with Adidas for the dollar shoes. This is another way that, you know, this is how we do it here in Missouri, collecting shoes for orphan souls. And we do an excellent job. The shoes were all collected. All of them are new. They go to Buckner, which is out of Texas, and if you don't know anything about Buckner, I've got the link for the Shoes for Orphan Souls project in the show notes. You can click it there and find out what's going on with it. And as a district, we collected 14,234 pairs of shoes, 1,415 pairs of socks, 18 shoelaces, 200 Mexican bandanas. I have no idea how the kids in the Interact Club in Tarkio brought those. I don't know how they got those, but that's pretty cool. So I thought I'd mention it. As well as over 200 gallons of diesel fuel for the semi-truck that takes the whole thing down to Texas. It's wonderful. On top of that, now if that's not enough, on top of all that, Clubs as a whole throughout the district raised $12,045.50 in cold, hard cash. That's pretty amazing. I mean, we did a wonderful job this year. Larry Lunsford did the roll call, which is always a wonderful thing to do as we go down the list and list name out each club and say how many they brought and all that. Have the club members come up and tell everybody. It was a wonderful way of doing it. I had a lot of fun. I actually got to enter in all the data on the spreadsheet while Larry was calling everything off. And every time we got to the next 1,000 pair of shoes, as soon as we hit 1,000, everybody yelled out one. As soon as we hit 2,000, everybody called out two. So it was great to get all the way up to 14, everybody yelling out 14 for the 14,234 pairs of shoes. It was great. A lot of fun. I should mention that the effort to move all of these shoes into the semi was led by a local member of the Lee Summit Noon Club, Mr. Doug Sell, and his daughter, Anne. I know this because I saw the sweat dripping from Doug's shirt and the embarrassed look on Anne's face as he walked around the crowd. Everybody else, you know, dressed up nice and clean and ready for the Saturday afternoon lunch with the roll call and all that. Right after breakfast, actually, is when the roll call happened. And in comes Doug, totally dripping with sweat, and his daughter, Anne. And that was awesome. That was so cool. Good job, Doug. Now, district conferences are usually a time to celebrate the year and start to look forward for the transition of leadership that takes place every July 1st. The same thing with RI, the international conferences. And the Rotary calendar year goes from July 1st to June 30th. But we have another story about fundraising at this year's district conferences. That's usually not what happens at a district conference, but we have two stories this year about raising funds. First, the $12,045.50 raised for the shoes. And now we've got some money that was actually raised for the Rotary Foundation. Now, if you don't know what the Rotary Foundation is, then make sure to catch a future show, as we'll go into great depth on it with John Gill. Now, the simplest way to describe it is that it's a large trust. It's where the money is pooled and the interest gained on that. It means more when you've got a higher dollar amount. So the interest on that is used to fund the foundation projects, whether that's polio, large water projects, things like that. And the pooled funds that come in from every Rotarian around the world, whether through personal giving or fundraising from a local club, will go to work on these major projects. Like I said, polio, water, things of that nature. So to do our part, we auctioned off several items brought in from Bangladesh by past District Governor Abdullah Hadd. These were beautiful hand-stitched items that were donated to the district for this auction. With that auction, we raised $2,650 on 5 items, with a bidding war between Carl Chinnery and Jeff Romine. Now, the greatest thing about that between these two is neither one of them knew who they were bidding against for a while. And as soon as Carl heard that Jeff Romine was bidding against him, he stopped right there and stopped at the $1,500 mark that Jeff had just raised it to. And later on, Jeff said, "Oh, I didn't know Carl was the one I was bidding against. I'll put in an extra $500." So that's where we get the $2,650 in total, along with the other items that were raised. Now, on the next day, we added another $1,000 to that. So that's another $1,000 on top of the $2,650 from the auction. This $1,000 came in a very different manner. This goes out to all of those out there who say social media has no return. And in this case, I have hard proof that social media can make a buck. As Rick Simon, district governor-elect, gave $1,000, or at least he's pledged $1,000 to the foundation, and now we've got it on record here. Everybody's hearing this podcast, so we know Rick Simon pledged to Cassie Venters that he would donate $1,000 to the Rotary Foundation if I did not post a video of Rick attempting to dance the Rotary Stomp on stage at one of the plenary sessions. So let me just back up and say that again. I have a video of Rick Simon attempting to dance the Rotary Stomp on stage at one of the plenary sessions. And this is a fun dance that we do, by the way. I enjoy it. And I can't do it either, Rick. So my hat off to you for getting up on stage and trying in front of everybody else. But to be honest, you're about as bad as District Governor Dan Hall. So With that said, he's pledged to give $1,000 for me not to post the video for everybody to see. So, he didn't say how long I had to go without posting it, though, did he? So we'll keep that in mind for when he becomes district governor. You know, you do get a roast when you become district governor here in Missouri. I don't know how other clubs do it around the world, around other zones, but here in northern Missouri, when you become district governor, we give you a nice roast. About as good as a Comedy Central roast. Maybe not of Charlie Sheen. No, we don't. We're pretty clean. But at any rate, so that brings our total to $3,650 that was donated to the Rotary Foundation. I mean, way to go. That's a lot of money. You typically, district conferences are not times when you raise money for the foundation. And of course, we had Todd Lindley on hand, who is zone chair of the foundation. I don't know what Todd Lindley's title is. Somebody please email in the show or tell me what Todd Lindley's title is. I know he's from another district. I think it's 6060. And I know that he has something to do with the foundation, because he came and gave us a nice little speech about it as far as that goes, as well as future vision. So somebody please call and correct me. Give me some comments on the show. It's rotary.com. You can easily post a comment there and tell me I screwed up. One last item on the agenda from the conference. You may remember that I talked a lot about tweeting, that I would have a surprise in regards to how that worked and what good it would do. And I can give you a few numbers, but I can't give you the full surprise. The full surprise actually ended up getting posted after I had written these notes, and that's Storify. And if you basically go to the website, itsrotary.com, check that out. There is one of the – it's right below what this posting for this podcast is going to be. And it's how you take your tweets and use them after the fact to kind of turn it into a story. That's what the website Storify does with these tweets. Now, we didn't get the kind of interactions that I wanted to on Friday or Saturday to really make it kind of come together really clean and neat. There wasn't enough of that interaction going on, although there was some. And the one interaction that was going on was great. Gladstone Rotary, by the way. My hat off to you guys for giving me some tips on Twitter that with my mentions and replies that I didn't realize was messed up. I appreciate that. But at any rate, we did get a pretty decent level of, not necessarily engagement, but of at least audience awareness, okay? So there were over 11 retweets. That's not too bad for us. That's better. We did manage to add 30 new followers to the show's Twitter account, which is @itsrotary on Twitter. And we did reach out over to 70,000 people during that two-day event. Now, that doesn't mean that 70,000 people read our posts. I can't give you those stats, but I can give you the total number of people that were reached that – well, I can give you the stats because that's the total number of people reached. So 70,000 people were the ones that could have read our posts. But the total number of people that did either click on a tweet, read a tweet, or at least see some of our photos – was 2,562. And that's pretty good if you ask me. You know, the rest of the story you'll have to come back and look at on the Storify and kind of see how that went. But 2,562 people, that's pretty good for a Rotary District Conference here in northern Missouri, considering that last year's district conference, it was zero because we didn't have a Twitter account. So we're just going to have to follow these numbers from event to event and see what kind of levels of engagement we can get. It is important to do these kinds of things. You know, during my presentation that I gave, my breakout session on social media and how clubs can use websites, Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts, and the like, when you use all these things together, you can actually get meaningful interaction with the community, people that are not in your Rotary Club, but real meaningful communication can happen, real engagement can happen, and you can start to pull those people in. Now, I've had people ask me before, have you ever seen a club actually gain a new member because of something you posted on Facebook? Well, my answer is yes, to be honest with you. Has my club in the last 3 months added any new members? Well, yes, we've added 7 new members. Now, was that because of something we did on Facebook or Twitter? Maybe. Maybe not. But I do know that it has to do with the level of engagement we have with the community. And that happens on a number of different ways. And that's it for our show this week. Stay tuned in between now and the 31st as we'll have another posting up about our interviews from the RIA conference. Of course, Muhammad Yunus is going to be our main interview that we have that District Governor Dan Hall did. It's going to be great, fascinating. I do have the recordings. I've already listened to them. I just haven't been able to put them into the podcast yet. I wanted to get this one done, out, and in the books. Finally, it's been, 20 days since the last podcast? That's kind of – I haven't had anything going on in May. I mean, you know, it's May, right? Nobody has kids in school. Nobody has graduations. Nobody has other things like that going on. And there wasn't a Rotary International Convention or a district conference either. So, you know, we've all been a little busy in May. So again, you can also send me an email, cwaldo.com. If you have any questions or comments, if I've messed anything up, mispronounced anybody's names, I know I have. I may even read your email on the next podcast. So if you send those emails in, and I want you to, be careful. I might read them. I am your host, Ted Waldo, as always. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here again real soon. No, I did not. I did not call him Muhammad Uranus. That's a planet. It's not. I realize Uranus is a planet. I did not call him Muhammad Uranus. And I don't. No, I'm not going to listen to the tape again. I'm not.